listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, August 2nd. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Thomas Queck of Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota. Good morning, Pastor Queck.
Good morning.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you today. Tell us about Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota.
Zion Lutheran was established back in 1888. By German immigrants who came into this area. They settled in an area just outside of Annandale, about 4 miles, actually, where the first church was established. Back in the 1940s, the church was moved into town. We still maintain the cemetery at the original site, and since then we've grown here in Annandale, and we have just a lovely community. We're about an hour northwest of the Twin Cities. We have many beautiful, beautiful lakes in our little area here. It tends to be where people come to hide away from the city, rush of the city. So we kind of a quiet community, but it's a very nice one. I've been here since 1988, actually. I came on the 100th anniversary of the church, and I've been here since, raised my family. Kids have all gone, so now we're enjoying the community more.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota, and that God's good news, the good news in Jesus Christ is proclaimed there. And thanks be to God for the long time that he's given you to serve there and proclaim that good news. We're in Acts chapter 26 today, 26 and 27, a little bit in 27 today. Anything you'd like for us to know as we prepare to study this text in Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 24 and taking us up through verse 8 in chapter 27? Anything you want us to know, Pastor?
Well, I think very simply, God's truth is always the best for you. That's what Paul found when he was facing his trial here in front of Agrippa and Festus. Festus was trying to find charges against Paul that he could send to Caesar so that he would actually have a trial and something to charge him with. And he could not find anything because Paul simply spoke the truth. And it's just kind of an interesting play between the those in power, like Agrippa and Festus, and then Paul simply speaking the truth, and them having more to say but getting frustrated.
All right, Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 24. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words, for the king knows about these things. And to him I speak boldly, for I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." All right, so as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. You've been studying too much, Paul. It's making you crazy." Pastor?
Yes, that's a statement of frustration on Festus's part. He, as I said before, he needed substantial legal reasons to send Paul to Rome. You know, he'd inherited this whole case from Felix. And all he had found, really, you go back to chapter 25, verse 18, where he says, "When the accuser stood up, they brought no charge in this case of such evils as I supposed." And so this is Festus speaking to Agrippa. And Agrippa, he also then was curious. He was kind of the Jewish representative. Festus was the Roman, the legal side of things. And so Agrippa, he wanted to hear Paul. But Agrippa, as we studied before, I'm sure, he had no questions. So he simply turned all this over to Paul to speak. And what did Paul do? He simply testified as to what God had done to him, how he brought him from hating the Jews and persecuting the Jews to being one who would be his servant. And it was all fulfilled, as he said, by Christ. And so it became a witness of Paul before this court, this kind of silly court, to simply testify as to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And so why Festus's outburst? It wasn't really an angry thing or a resentful thing to Paul. He'd allowed Agrippa to take over the examination, hoping it would turn something up. But soon Festus realized he wasn't going to get what he really wanted to get. Paul was speaking of religious matters. And I think the real frustration was is Festus had no idea really what he was talking about. That's really what he comes at. I find it interesting when he said, you know, there's much learning had unbalanced his mind. That's kind of what he said. You're crazy, Paul. I see this a little bit today. You know, when sometimes we want to take serious the scripture and we speak it clearly and pointedly as to exactly what the word says, and when people don't want to hear what they're hearing, maybe it sometimes accuses them of a pet sin or something. Then all of a sudden they kind of claim like Felix, you're way out of my league. I don't understand you. You're crazy. You don't understand what you're talking about. So I think that's really what's behind Festus. He was hearing things that didn't pertain to him, and he just wanted to kind of get out of this whole situation.
But Paul said, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner."
It's very interesting here. Paul, he said, "Paul, you're obsessed with this Jesus." And today there are those that like Festus who don't want to give up their own ideas of things. But Paul simply said, I'm not insane. And you remember Agrippa is sitting here. And Agrippa, he's been around a while. Festus, he's kind of new to everything. But Agrippa, he'd heard things about Jesus. He'd probably even heard a lot of things about Paul. And what Paul was saying here is that everything is utterly established. The facts and the truths, the realities, these are not imaginations. And really what Paul is simply speaking here is simply the gospel. In verse 26, he appealed to Agrippa here, for the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly, for I am persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice, because it's not been done in a corner. These things were not a secret, and I'm sure he could even look back to and be pointed back to Christ's crucifixion that was known, and especially his resurrection. Agrippa knew of the growth of Christianity. It was all around him. Paul was not insane because everything he said had happened.
King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe.
Yeah. Here's a change. Now here is where Paul really kind of takes charge of things. He took over the questioning. And it's actually here where the accused is now asking the questions. He's becoming the judge, isn't he, here? Do you believe the prophets? He's asking this of the judge. Imagine sitting in a court and asking, you're sitting in the defense chair, and you ask the judge, hey, judge, do you really believe the laws you're teaching, or do you believe these things? You'd be in big trouble right at that point. But do you believe that key word, believe the prophets? Paul had continually stated that he was teaching nothing beyond what Moses and the prophets had said would happen. We look at verse 23 here in the text. He says, going back to the previous one, it says, he says the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. He said, the Christ would suffer. he would be the first to rise from the dead. He would be the one to proclaim light to people and the Gentiles. That's what the prophets taught. And now, Agrippa, you see that this is what Jesus did. And so can't you make the connection? Do you believe the prophets? Do you believe the prediction of the prophets regarding the Messiah? You know, Agrippa, if he was Jewish, as he claimed to be, he would have known Isaiah 53. You go back there, and clearly it says that the coming Messiah would die for men's sins and that he would rise victorious to proclaim salvation to all. That's so clear in Isaiah 53. But look at the response here. Do you believe in the prophets? I know that you believe. Agrippa had, at this point, probably had nothing to say. He was probably taken aback by this whole thing. And so Paul kind of actually answers the question for him, doesn't he? I know you believe. I find that Paul really taking control here with the whole thing. Because if Agrippa professed Jewish faith to the prophets, then what about these prophets' words regarding the Messiah?
And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?
Yeah, what could Agrippa say, huh? His predicament. He really saw, you look at this, he saw the whole situation. What's Agrippa going to do? He's on trial here, isn't he? And if he would say yes, I agree to what the prophets all teach, then he would be faced with the question, the second question that only comes on the tail of that. Well, then, is Jesus that Messiah? After all you have heard regarding him. And so if he answered yes, that would be where he'd have to go. And then if he answered yes, then he had nothing against Paul because Paul proved he was telling the truth. But if he would say no, I don't believe the prophets. We realize who Agrippa was. Agrippa was kind of the head of the temple, wasn't he? He's the guy who appointed all the priests. He's the guy who was guarding the temple, the most precious thing of the Jews. So if he said no, and being kind of the head Jewish guy around, boy, that would put him in a big political bind, wouldn't it? And so you can see he was in a predicament. He didn't know what to say. And so this was his only response, wasn't it? In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? That's kind of a, we can look at that and just say, boy, Paul, you sure put it to him.
And Paul said, verse 29, and Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains.
Yeah. This whole diversion tactic by Agrippa. And then Paul comes back with this answer. He turned back to himself, didn't he? In his answer, really, what a glorious testimonial to Christ and to all who trust in Christ. Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me this day might become such as I am. Now this, some may take that as a kind of a boast. Boy, I wish you guys were like me. But that's really not what it is. What Paul is saying here is I want you to be like what I've become, what I've been made. I want you to be one who would enjoy the blessings that became mine when Christ found me on that road to Damascus and when he made me to be his own through baptism and everything that he's done for me. He says, I want you to be like me, one who can enjoy all the peace and joy and hope that Jesus brings to me, a sinner, even if I'm in chains, even if I'm persecuted unjustly, as Paul could say, I am right here standing before you guys. So Paul was not using insincere motives here, as really Agrippa, remember, previously had accused Paul of being, that he was using false motives to even do all this thing. It's kind of an interesting thing. What is that, that, you know, whether short or long, what does that mean? It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
What is it?
There really is no, in the Greek, there really is no word for or. And so it's really a short and long. What really is behind this is whether short or long. Paul is saying whether you become a Christian in a short time, really like I have, or you become a Christian and then in long measure like me. So whether you're just a new Christian or have been a Christian for a long time, I would that you would still become like me, that, in other words, that you would still be one who would be faithful to God's word and enjoy all these blessings because you can. And then even in that verse, the final, kind of the other thing that sometimes is wondered about is that you may become such as I am, except for these chains. Now, some people wonder, what's Paul doing here? Does that mean he's actually standing there in chains at this trial? That's pretty doubtful. You remember that Paul actually was a Roman citizen, wasn't he? And Roman law forbade the use of chains on Roman citizens, especially in public, because that would be telling... The government would be telling the people, you know, we enslave our people too, and it would be a bad thing. Here we also understand that the word chains can also mean imprisonment, and I think that's how we need to take it here. You look ahead to verse 31. It says, and when this they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. That word imprisonment in verse 31 that's coming up is the same word that is used for chains here. So I think it's best to take it that except for these, from I who am imprisoned. And so that's kind of where we're at with those.
Let's take a look at those last couple of verses in this chapter. Then the king rose, and the governor, and Bernice, and those who were sitting with them. When they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
Yeah, so this whole trial, this whole thing of Paul being before Festus and Agrippa, what was the reaction of Agrippa? I just simply got up and left the room. Boy, does that say much about what's going on here. He simply terminated the proceedings, King Agrippa did. He had every right to do so, and that's what he did. Here it was all to be a big, big show, wasn't it? We see that when they came into the court, he and his wife and all the people, it was going to be a big thing, and in the end, they just walk out. He simply brushed aside or evaded the whole issue placed before him by Paul. What is really sad is that we go back to that question where he says in 28, would you persuade me to be a Christian? Well, that's exactly what Paul was doing, whether he intended to or not, by simply telling the truth, by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we have Paul, a powerful speaker, doing that. And what's the response of King Agrippa? Well, he simply lets his hour of grace slip away. He simply leaves. He could have easily become a Christian at that point, but he simply walked away.
Looking over the text of this first part for today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn before we go on to Paul setting sail for Rome?
Well, I think simply just going back to what I said at the beginning is that somehow God's truth is always best for you. Stick to the truth, and it'll put people will confront people with the truth of who Jesus Christ really is. And it always comes down to that point. Some people walk away. Other people, we pray, would listen and become believers. And so, you know, as it says, all agreed here that Paul did not deserve death or imprisonment. He's innocent. And they all knew this. And so Festus, boy, everybody had to be frustrated, everyone except Paul.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Thomas Queck of Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota. We're in Acts chapter 26 and 27 today. If you have a question or a comment, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study in Acts chapter 27. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
No one likes asking for help, but as we age, that little bit of extra assistance can make remaining independent easier. Lutheran Senior Services Home and Community-Based Services helps clients live life to the fullest right in the comfort of home. Whether it's an extra set of hands for getting things done, skilled nursing or therapy after an illness, or an alert button that triggers a call for help, it's available. Lutheran Senior Services, trusted for a reason. LSSLiving.org.
Lord, what impact might I have today? Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Is this a question you ask yourself? Are there times you don't feel fully engaged in sharing the gospel? Your investment with LCEF is used for loans and services that ministry organizations and leaders need to reach their community. Put your money to work within the LCMS and make an impact each day. To learn more, visit lcef.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor, Pastor Thomas Queck of Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota. We're in Acts chapters 26 and 27, about to embark on Acts chapter 27. And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of Andromedium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salamone. Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. Now, of all those locations, I have to say Fair Havens was the easiest to pronounce.
Well, yes. And you know, it's interesting. Annandale is 6 miles from a town called Fair Haven, Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And as I was looking at this text, I just kind of looked at the history of it. We have a beautiful, beautiful old church there in Fair Haven, Minnesota. It's actually, we are in Minnesota South District, and 6 miles away, they're in the Minnesota North District. But I've had connection with that congregation. It's Concordia Fair Haven. A little shout out here for them, I guess. But when I vicared in St. Cloud, we filled a vacancy there. So I'm very familiar with that congregation and its people. And then to end up here only 6 miles away in my ministry. Anyway, but it said the settlers came there, they looked around and said, this is a fair haven. So I find that interesting here too. Yeah.
So no Cilicia and Pamphylia nearby, or
no.
Myra or Lycia?
No, you did a very good job pronouncing those, by the way.
Some of it was a stab in the dark here.
I compliment you on that.
Thanks. Oh, so when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius, and embarking in a ship of Adramidium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus of Macedonia from Thessalonica.
Yeah, kind of the key thing here is the word we. Who is the we? You have Aristarchus, who has accompanied him, but who's the other guy? And, of course, we know that to be Luke. And so here's the two companions that accompany Paul, Luke and Aristarchus, this Macedonian. And also then, of course, they're guided or guarded by Julius. And it's a very interesting thing. You know, today we look at prisoners being transported from this place to that place. They go in an armored car or a police car, and they're chained or whatever, handcuffed, and in the back seat where they can't get out or anything like that. Here they get on a boat, and it's kind of like, let's take a nice cruise here along the coast of Crete here and on our way to Rome. And we're going to stop by and visit a few people on the way. It's kind of an interesting thing to do. But it shows us the freedom that Paul had here. And he was not lonely. He was not traveling by himself. He was not in the bottom of some slave ship or whatever. So it's kind of interesting that they go here. And of course, we know too that they're traveling just along. It says going along the ports along the coast of Asia. They're in a small ship. A small coastal vessel, one for just hopping from one port to the other, and it's not really ready to go across the sea over to Rome. So in a way, they're just kind of hopping along here, hoping to catch a big boat that's going to be headed to Rome.
And when we had sailed across the, the next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for.
Yeah. If nothing else, it shows us that Paul made friends wherever he went. That's kind of, you know, wouldn't it be fascinating to see Paul, just to talk to the guy? You know, he himself admits, I'm nothing to look at. I'm not this handsome guy that stands on the stage and everybody oogles and awes at. And no, he's the opposite. But yet, he's one of those people with such an infectious personality. And, you know, that had to be a gift from God that he did that, because it was all to serve one purpose. And that purpose certainly was to serve the gospel, that people would listen to Paul and hear the gospel.
So we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us, and when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we made it to Myra in Lycia.
Yeah, just hopping along the coast. You know, he gives a tour guide, today he'd be showing us pictures, and they'd be putting them on Facebook, and we'd get to see Paul standing there in this port and that port and everywhere else.
taking selfies all along the way.
Yeah, he and Luke and the guys, here we are. So, that'd be interesting. But then we get to, let's go on to verse 6 there then.
So when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we made it to Myra and Lycia. Then there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board.
Okay, so this is kind of where it's interesting. It said so simply, he found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy. So now they found their big ship. But what kind of a ship was it? Well, if it was coming from Alexandria, Egypt, that was the breadbasket of the world. At that time, if it were today, it'd be, say, well, we found a big train leaving the plains of the Dakotas loaded with 300 cars of wheat. It'd be about the same thing. It was a grain ship. And if we look way ahead to verse 38, that kind of confirms that in this chapter. But it was a grain ship. It was a large ship with the number of people, we learn also that there were 276 men on board this ship. So this is a big ship, a big boat, one that could handle the seas. And it was hauling grain. And here we have the grain coming from Egypt heading up to Rome, all with this political agreements between the Caesars and that which goes on in Egypt, you know, all that with Julius Caesar and Cleopatra and all this, that it had been established. So Rome needed all that. And what I found very interesting is that, you know, here's the bread of bread, the grain providing the bread of life to the people in Rome. And what do we have? We have Paul, who's carrying the gospel, the real bread of life, for eternal life. He gets on this ship. And so I don't think it's an accident that this happened, that we can look at this and say, you know, here's this food being brought to the people of Rome so they can live, and they need it desperately. But who else is on that ship? Here's Paul bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, them crucified, to these people in Rome, the real bread of life, to bring them life. And that is really what he did. Yes, they faced strong winds along the way to get there. And this is kind of setting up for the whole next section of the time of year. And I'm assuming that whoever does the next one is going to focus on the storms and why they were stormy that time of year and such. But I think that the real neat point here is that picture of Paul on this grain ship heading to Rome, the capital of the world, to bring the gospel.
We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off of Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete off of Salamone. I don't know if I pronounced that Cnidus or Cnidus.
I think you did very well. That's exactly how I would have said it. And here it's just really setting up here the whole journey coming up. It's setting up, and the time of year is getting bad. That's why the north winds are blowing, and it's you know, just coming to this point of we're getting ready to take off, and the question comes up then in coming verses: do we go at this time of the year or not, or do we stay around and wait? And we're going to see eventually that the captain and Julius and all those guys, they wanted to go, but Paul says no, we shouldn't go. We need to wait. And so of course, Paul was listening to not only his conscience but to God here too, because he knew there was trouble ahead. Interestingly, he knew that he was going to make it. There was no doubt he was going to go to Rome. He knew he would make it, even if the ship crashed. But he was looking out here for all the other people, saying, no, let's get this bread, this wheat to Rome. Let's get these 276 men. We need to get them to Rome, too. So, just kind of setting the stage here for the whole next lectionary text.
Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia.
Yeah, Fair Havens. I think, not knowing all these different towns and things particularly, but the key there is with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens. And again, the object's thrown in front of the gospel being brought to where it's supposed to go. We always have difficulty. The gospel's always going to face difficulty. We see it here from Paul, his entire ministry, wasn't it? He went there and all of a sudden things prospered, and he went this place and everything prospered. He went this place and everything went well. Everywhere he went, he faced difficulty. He faced struggles. And I think that's something that we need to realize too, that in this world, the world is going to be against us, not just people, that even in this case, nature can be an obstacle to us in this world. the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We all fight against that, and they're all fighting against the gospel. But Paul, it doesn't bother him much, does it? He simply prevails and ends up in fair haven.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text?
Well, I think it's a kind of a, once you get into the text, it's there's a lot of neat things in it. If nothing else, I think we see Paul simply wanting to tell the simple gospel, and he does it by means of what God did to him in his lifetime, how he turned him from being an enemy to the church to being one of the great apostles of the church. And he's not bragging about that, but simply saying, I am simply here to serve, and I'm going to serve wherever I'm brought, whether it's by the workings of the legal system, whether it's by God telling me where to go, whether it's by the weather guiding me this way or saying it's difficult. Whatever happens, the gospel is going to be brought where God wants it to be brought. And we simply need to follow God in his directive to preach that gospel wherever we're at, whatever circumstances we're in, and not be intimidated.
We've been studying with Pastor Thomas Queck of Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota. Pastor Queck, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us with the daily lectionary today.
Well, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
God bless you and all the saints there at Zion Lutheran Church in Annandale, Minnesota. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your Tuesday morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.